Good morning, beloved. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. Today is the day of your salvation. Praise God. Right now. Amen. You died with him. Thank God. All things belong to you, whether in heaven or in earth. Praise the living God. Hallelujah. I wanted to talk today about the number two trees, two covenants. Two lives. Oh man. Two places you could spend eternity. And I thought that's way too much, man. I'd be here for 6 hours. So I just want to reiterate some things many of you guys have probably not even heard me teach before. The new covenant and the old covenant. These are very different. And Jesus said, you cannot. Matter of fact, they came up to him and they said, why don't your disciples do as the Pharisees or as John's disciples? Or, why are your disciples behaving differently? And Jesus says, you can't pour new wine into old wineskins. If you do, the skins will burst. Why? Those skins have already been stretched. And you cannot take a piece of a new cloth and sew it onto an old garment. Why? Because when you wash the garment, the new cloth shrinks. The old cloth has already shrunk. So now you got this bunched up piece of garment on your clothes. And Jesus said you can't do that. You can't. And what was he talking about? People, can you imagine just being there with Jesus? They had no clue what he was talking about. And he's talking about two covenants. He's talking about there's a vast difference between the two covenants, and if you mix them, it will not work. And so if you're really going to walk with Jesus Christ, if you're going to understand, let me rephrase that, if you're going to walk in Jesus Christ, amen. We don't walk with Jesus, praise. I don't even want to get into that, but if you're going to walk in Jesus, amen, you can't mix these two covenants. And beloved, we need a deep revelation from God on the difference of the two covenants. And I'll just take a few minutes here, but the old covenant was given to the life of Adam that came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's interesting that God told him, if you eat of that tree on the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. God has never told a lie. So that day, Adam died. He died. So how did he keep living if he died? Because he had a different life source. He had a different source of life than the Father. That's why when Jesus came, he told the Pharisees, "You are sons of the devil, sons of Satan." That he had a different life source. Adam had a different life source. His life source had become the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He had his own independent life. And he was born of the devil. The devil deceived him into a different life. And when he did, he lost the life of God. So that day he died. He didn't have the life of God. Now, when God gave the law, he gave it to the life that came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that law was given to that life to expose its true nature, to expose its iniquity. Because independent beings who have this life of the devil, this life that came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they think that they are good. They think that other people are bad, but not them. They think they're probably a little bad. But they're not completely bad. They would never call themselves evil. I mean, man, goodness, who would call themselves evil? No, we look at Hitler as evil. I mean, that's an evil dude right there. Hitler. A man has all their ideas of who's evil. Charles Manson, oh man, that guy's evil. That guy's wicked. And we look at these serial killers and stuff, and oh my goodness, they're evil people. Jesus looked at his own disciples and he said, "You being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask?" Amen. Imagine your pastor telling you are evil. I mean, man, Americans to go find another church. Praise God. And your pastor would never say that because you don't want to lose your tithes. Amen. Lord help us, Jesus. I'm sorry. I'm in a jolly mood today. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So these two covenants, the law was given to the life of Adam that came from the devil. It came from the devil's deception. It came from the wrong tree, and he lost the life of God. The law was given to Adam, saying, "Thou shalt not, thou shalt." God told him everything he needed to do to be righteous. Because in Adam's knowledge of good and evil, he thought he could be good. And God sent the law to reveal the depth of the iniquity of that life. Iniquity means the bentness. It's bent. It's not straight. It's bent. And so the law aroused the sinful passion that was inside of Adam, inside of Adamkind, inside of mankind, and revealed its iniquity. Everything the law commands, every demand of God on the life of Adam, is not because God has one thought that Adam will be able to be obedient. It's because God knows that he will always fail to be obedient. So every command, every demand of God on the natural life of a person is not because God's looking for them to obey it. It's because God wants to expose that none of them do, that none of them can, and none of them ever will. And he says, because the old covenant did not bring about righteousness, because the people could not perform it, that he will make a new covenant. When Jesus came at the Last Supper there, he said, "Take this. This is the new covenant in my blood." Amen. This is the new covenant in my blood. And when you read the new covenant, Jeremiah 31, 31, I believe, he said, "Behold, there come a day I'll make a new covenant." And you ought to look at the principles of that covenant. No one will say his neighbor, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know him from the least to the greatest. I will not remember their sin. I'll write my word upon their heart. What was he talking about? He was talking about giving us a brand new life. It's called the life of the last Adam. The new covenant is radically different than the old. In the new covenant, we're not under a commandment to do because none of us can do. The new covenant is a commandment to believe in the one that he has sent. Oh man, believe in the one that he sent. They came up to Jesus. "What must we do to do the works of God?" Jesus said, "The work of God is this, to believe on the one that he sent." Man, praise God. You know, John said, the eternal life that was with the Father manifested to us, made itself known to us. We touched it, we felt it, we spent time with it. The eternal life that was with the Father. Amen. Jesus is the eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his own begotten Son. Whosoever believed him should not perish, but have eternal life. That everlasting is the same word, eternal life. Jesus is the eternal life. So the new covenant has nothing to do with you trying to obey God so you'll be blessed. That's the old covenant. And everybody who thinks along those lines is under a curse. They're going to be blessed in some areas, in the areas that they're obedient, but it will end in sorrows. It will always end in sorrows. Why? Because Adam cannot be obedient. He's enmity against God. The only time Adam obeys is when there's something in it for him. That's it, man. That's the only time Adam obeys, when there's something in it for him, because he's a selfish, devilish creature. And so he only obeys when something's in it for him. So if there's a promise, if there's something he can get out of it, then he'll do it. But that's not how the new covenant works at all. So Paul contrasted these two things. He said in the old, like in Romans 10, he said in the old worked by he who does these things will live. The commands of Moses, whoever does this will live, and if you don't, you will die. That's how the old worked. But the new doesn't work like that. The new does not say in its heart who's going to ascend into heaven. That's to discount the work of Jesus. That's to bring Christ down. He's the only one that can ascend, and he's the only one that did, only one that ever will. And only in his life can we be there, praise God. But so the new doesn't say who's going to make it to heaven. Neither does it say who's going to descend into the deep, for that's to bring Christ up. He also descended for us. What does it say? What does the new covenant say that's different than the old covenant? The old covenant said, if you'll do these things, you'll live. If you'll do these things, you'll be blessed. But the new covenant says, the word is in your mouth. The word of faith is nigh unto you, even in your mouth. That if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll be delivered, healed, set free, and made whole. Now, here's for time's sake, I'm going to try to wrap this up. Let's just zero in on this. What does it mean to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? It means you have a revelation in your spirit of what he accomplished through the cross and through the resurrection. When God raised him up from the dead, that's our life now. That's why he said in Ephesians 1 that he was praying for us to understand, for our heart to be enlightened, that we might know God's power toward us, and that he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his own right hand. This is God's power toward us. Believing in our spirit that God raised him from the dead is to believe that we died with him and that now we have his life. We have been raised up together and seated with him in heavenly places. And then we make confession. What do we confess? I hesitate to talk about this because it's a lot of people. I don't want to confuse anybody. But if you look at it, Christians say that we're supposed to make Jesus the Lord of our life. Friend, that is a lie from the pit. That is not true. He doesn't want to be the Lord of your life. He wants to be your life. There's a vast difference. Your life was crucified. What is he? Why would he want to be the Lord of your life? He already put it to death on the cross. He didn't come to be the Lord of your life. He came to be your life. Whenever we confess that Jesus is Lord, we confess that he is seated at the right hand of God, far above all power. We believe that. We believe that. Now watch this. We believe that the life we have is the right-hand seat life. This is the only way that you can really be delivered, healed, set free, made whole. It's not by doing what God said to do so you'll be blessed. It's by believing what he accomplished when he went to that cross. He became sin. He took on that nature of the serpent. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He took on that life that came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the serpent life. He became that life and he put that life to death. Amen. And then God raised him up with a new life. Praise God. And seated him at his own right hand. If we are found in the likeness of his death, we shall also be found in the likeness of his life. What he's teaching here is a very, very deep thing. It's understanding what was accomplished through the cross, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When your spirit begins to believe that and is convinced of that and has deep insight into that, and you really comprehend what took place there, you'll begin to declare that this life of Christ that is in you, amen, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Oh my goodness, Colossians says, for you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then we shall appear with him in glory. He is our life, for him we were raised up together with him and seated with him. This is the life that God has given to us if we believe what he accomplished. I like to call it the right hand seat life, because that describes it. The right hand seat life. What is the right hand seat life? It's the life of Christ. Why do I call it the right hand seat life? Because I confess that Jesus is Lord. Oh man, may God give you the insight and the revelation. Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? It doesn't mean he's Lord of my life or he's the Lord God. It means that Jesus is seated above all power, all principality. Oh my goodness, every high thing. He is the highest, praise God. That's what it means. Jesus, this life I have, is Lord of all. That sounds crazy. Religious people will throw rocks at you if you say that. Amen. I'm sorry. That's not funny. Oh, God, forgive me today. I had the joy of the Lord in my spirit, man. I'm just so happy. I just love the Lord. He's so wonderful. But to believe in your heart that God raised him up from the dead, friend. Believe, know what was accomplished there, and confess that this life that he's given us, friend, it is the Lord of all, and every knee will bow, patarios, and every tongue confess that this life of Jesus Christ is Lord. This is why he told us, go cast out devils and raise the dead. Why? Because we've got a life, friend, that is Lord of all. We're talking about, the, you know, Christians are down here singing King of Kings and Lord of Lords and looking up in heaven. Man, we have the life of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in us. That's why we're supposed to go and do what he did, and even greater than he did. Why can't we do that? Why don't we do that? Because we continue to walk in our own life, not understanding it, not understanding what the cross had. That's why, listen, this is why people keep trying to do what God said to do so they'll be blessed. They keep walking in the old covenant. They don't know the difference. And some of them know some of the new covenant, and they just try to mix them up. And when they try to mix them up, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. He told us it wouldn't work. It'll never work until you understand the difference of the two covenants. And you begin to understand what he actually accomplished. Amen. And you begin to understand that the life that you now have, praise God, all this stuff I talk about denying ourselves, it's so we can walk in this life that he's given us. And that's the only way. You can't walk in his life and yours too. The life you have from your parents is under the law. That if you want to walk in yourself, then obey God and you'll be blessed. But friend, it's going to end in sorrows and it's going to end in a curse because you'll never do it fully. You'll never do it fully. You might pay your tithes and get a big house and then die of cancer. God have mercy. That's how it works. You know, that's how the old covenant works. Something's going to get you. Something's going to get you. But in the new covenant, praise God, we're not trying to obey God so we'll be blessed. Man, we have the blessed life of Jesus. What we do need to do is hate our own life, turn away from it, and lay hold of this life that is Lord of all. Because that's the life he created us for. It's the life he's given us, friend. Oh, God, help us in Jesus' name. I hope this isn't too deep and I don't mess anybody up here. But friend, I want you to understand both sides of the cross, not just one. This powerful resurrection side of the cross means we are one with Christ. We are seated with him. We have the same authority he has. We have the same power he has. And we should be doing the same things he did and even more than he did. Amen. We should be. But the death side of the cross is there is no good thing in us at all. If we don't hate this life of Adam that the law was for, then friend, we're going to keep walking under the law. If we walk after the Spirit, we're not under the law. If we don't hate the life of Adam, we can never, ever walk in the life of the last Adam. With God, it's all or nothing. That's why he said, go sell everything you got. It's all or nothing. It's a picture. It's all or nothing. You can't have Jesus and you. You can't add Jesus to you. Jesus doesn't come live in your heart, and now you get to walk around with Jesus. That's just, there's so many misconceptions. It's because we want to hang on to our life, and we want God to bless it. And that's a lie. We've been deceived. Satan's lied to us. With our knowledge of good and evil, we're trying to figure things out. Listen, you ain't got to figure it out. Jesus conquered death. He conquered sin. He put your life to death. Now reject it. Believe in his. Believe in his. And lay hold of it by faith and confession and what he's accomplished on your behalf. In Jesus' name, amen.